Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I want to start Galatians chapter 9 and just kind of share with you what the Lord's talking about, at least give that to you, and then I've got some things I want to teach and preach on this morning. So let's go to Galatians chapter 9 to start out with. And here we are, 2020. And, as I was praying about it, another pastor asked me, well, what's the Lord telling you for 2020? And I said, well, I haven't really prayed enough about it yet. I've got some thoughts, but I need to spend some time praying about it. And I said, what's the Lord telling you? And they said, well, I don't know yet. I'm going to pray about it. And they said, when you find out, call me and let me know. And I can use yours. Amen. But, the Lord has something for us. I said, the Lord has something for us. What's he going to do this year? Well, he's going to do a lot of good things. But one of the things the Lord put in my spirit for 2020 for our church is it's going to be a great year harvest for us. Amen. I really believe that. We're going to have a great harvest. And so I'm calling it a year harvest for us. Now this morning, I'm going to talk about seed time. I'm going to talk about harvest. But the Lord just led me to go in a specific way. And that's just talking about the title of my message this morning is Keep Sowing the Word. Keep sowing the word. Life, whether we believe it or not, God said in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, he said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will be in effect. Now, that's true in the natural, and that's true in the spiritual. See? And so as long as the earth remains, and so as far as I know, we're still here, right? I got up this morning, we're still out there. So as long as the earth remains, God said seed time and harvest is going to be in effect. Now, whether you realize this or not, all of the world operates on seed time and harvest. Whether they want to, whether they realize it, or whether they know what's happening, it's happening. But you plant a seed, you get a harvest. Amen. Nobody pays you to come to work to do nothing. Right? I mean, nobody. There isn't a job. If there'd been one, I might have found it before I got saved. A job where you came and you didn't do anything. Right. No. Amen. You sow your time, right? Yes. And you get a harvest. Yes. Amen. And so, even advertising is working on seed time harvest principle. They're advertising to try to plant a seed in you to go buy their product. I was in town. Driving around, it's been quite some time ago, and I saw this billboard said, best ribs in town. Best ribs in town. Best ribs in Evansville. And so that planted a seed in me. I thought, I got to go find out. It's not always the truth, but what they're trying to do is get that seed in you to go and buy their product. And so, you go to Walmart, you give them money, they give you a product. You reap a harvest. You plant a seed, right? See, if you try to reap the harvest without planting the seed, then somebody shows up for you, amen. Right? They take you to jail because you didn't operate the process right. So there's seed time and harvest. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about just keep sowing the word into your life. Let's go here to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. We're going to read here. I've got a few other scriptures I want to look at this morning. And I hope you grasp onto this, because whether you realize it or not, you live by this law, whether you want to or not, you just do. Right. It doesn't matter whether you like it or you don't like it, or you think, a pastor's just blowing it up. It doesn't matter. You're living by it. Right. You're harvesting in your life what you've been sowing in your heart. Amen. So let's go here to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7 says it this way, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, the J.B. Phillips translation says it this way, a man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. So, if we think that we're not going to reap what we sow, then we're mocking God, and he's not mocked. And we're deceived, not God. Are you with me now? now here, it's quiet, but let me say something to you. I have heard this taught, and I disagree with it, that all the bad seed you've sown in your life, that you're going to reap from that even after you're saved. I'm glad that's not true. Amen. I mean, come on. No, see, we're going to read the scripture because this is what we're going to talk about this morning. And we read on, it says, if we faint not. So if we faint, we don't reap. Right? Now we think about that, you know, okay, if I sow good seed, then I faint, I don't reap. But did you know I fainted to my old way of life? It's called repentance. I'm not reaping off of that. Amen. See, some people don't ever let you forget your past. How many know that? You know, I remember years ago, there was a couple started coming to our meetings, and this was before we were pastoring the church, and this couple came, sweet couple. They actually are still partners with our ministry to this day. They're really been a blessing in our life. And I remember them telling me, because the man, I went to school with his sister. We were in the same class, and of course, she knew me B.C. before Christ. And, you know, if you don't know what Jesus can do, you don't realize how radically people can change. Is that not right? And so he tried to get her to start coming to our meetings. And she said, I wouldn't go listen to him. I wouldn't believe a thing he said. Well, because she knew me beforehand. And she knew the lifestyle I lived. Now, thank God, she finally got born again and started coming to the meetings herself. But she's still thinking of me in terms of the old man. But you know, we're in Christ Jesus now. Amen. And so the harvest, the things that we sowed previously, those things, the Bible says all things have become new. Old things have passed away. See, so that's gone. You say, well, Pastor, you know, since I've been a Christian, I don't want to tell you this, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Since I've been a Christian, I have sowed some bad seed. No. Why did you have to tell me that? I thought so much of you. How many know we all have, but what do? We repent. We get it covered by the blood of, eradicated by the blood of Jesus. Better way to say it. Well, if we've repented and it's been cleansed out of our life by the blood of Jesus, you think that we're going to have to reap from that? No. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not reaping from that. That's been cleansed. Amen. So when we understand this law of seed time and harvest, that you know whatever we sow, whether it's good or it's bad, we're going to reap from that. You know, and I know a lot of times in the old-fashioned preaching, which a lot of that was good, don't misunderstand me, but they would hammer in on this on the negative side. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You've sown to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. We'd hear that kind of preaching. Well, that was all true, but they left out there's a positive side to this. Paul here is talking about sowing to the positive side. Amen. And he said, whatever a man sows, notice this, be not deceived, verse 7, God's not mocked, whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. So, how many know God doesn't do the sowing? That's right. Whatever a man sows. That's right. Amen. Now listen, here's something you need to know. You don't reap what you want. A lot of people, they have a wishing Christianity. But you don't reap what you want, you reap what you sow. What you sowed for, that's what you're going to reap. Amen. You know, you don't, if you want tomatoes in your backyard, how many know you got to sow for them, right? All right. So, but he, verse 8 says, he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap. I don't want to reap from the flesh because the harvest is corruption. But notice this, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap. Now notice this, there's two harvests here. If you sow to your flesh, you reap from the flesh, but the harvest is corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit, but the harvest is life everlasting. I like that better. And now, here's what I want to get to and what I want to talk about today, because we're talking about, remember what we're talking about? We're talking about continuing to sow the Word. Continuing to sow the Word. You want a harvest, you got to sow the Word for it. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing. What's he saying? Let us keep sowing, For in due season we shall reap. Everybody notice the word if. That's a big word. Right. If we faint not. Now, what does your translation make? If we don't lose heart. What is it saying there? Well, it's simply saying that if we don't quit doing it. See, he said, don't be weary in well doing. If we don't quit doing well, we're going to reap. Amen. See, there's a law in the spirit realm. If you want to keep reaping, you got to keep sowing. Amen. So we have to understand that you know, what we want in our lives, how many know God's word supplies it? Come on, leave me a better amen than that. God's word covers everything that pertains to life and godliness. God's word produces all kinds of things in our life. But we have to sow it in there to get the harvest off of it. See, wouldn't sowing the word being doing good? Well, absolutely it would be. See, the key to harvest in the spirit realm is just keep sowing. Now, you know, don't worry about the harvest. God, you know, the Bible says, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. You just do your part. Amen. You do the planting, you do the watering, God gives the increase. What's the watering? Well, you plant the seed, you keep watering the seed, you keep putting more of the word on it. So that's what did Paul do? Paul came in and preached. Apollos came in and preached. Paul said, I planted. Apollos came in and watered what I'd planted by preaching some more, but God gave us the increase. Amen. Well, when's mine coming, Pastor? Well, I don't know, but I know this. God Almighty doesn't break His word. And if you think He does, you're deceived. The only reason it wouldn't happen is if you quit sowing. Amen. You need something in your life. How many know the Word of God produces it? See, the Word of God, the Bible says, is a living thing. It's alive. It's active. The Bible said it effectually works in those that believe it. So it's a live thing, it's a living thing, but you have to plant it, and when you plant it, as you plant it, and you keep planting it, I'm going to show you in a little bit out of some of the scriptures that we're going to get to, hopefully, I'm going to show you as you keep planting it, there's going to be a day harvest is going to come. Yes, it will. Hallelujah. Now, you know, the Lord, I've told you this before because I was dealing with some things years ago back. Like I said, this would have been probably the early 1990s. And I was just talking to God about some things in ministry because, you know, some things weren't happening like I thought they should be happening. And I was looking at other people and they were happening for them. And then, you know, then you can begin to rationalize and begin to think and you begin to question God. You can begin to feel sorry for yourself. And, you know, all those things. And so that's kind of what's going on in my life. And I was going to preach at a church, you know, and normally I drive, you know, I just like to drive, you know, it's not that I don't trust Phyllis's driving because she's a good driver. But, you know, I like to drive normally, even if I've got somebody else that I know is a good driver, I still like to drive. That's just me. And so, but for some reason, I don't think I was driving that morning. I guess maybe I felt like I needed to just spend some time with the Lord over there in the passenger seat. And so, you know, I'd been talking to God about, you know, about how I didn't understand. I said, and you know, listen, how many know sometimes when you open your mouth, you reveal your ignorance? A lot of people get delivered if they just shut up for a week. And so I said to God, I said, you know, I don't understand this. I've been at this longer than they have, and look what they're doing, and I'm not doing that. And the Lord spoke back to me. I don't mean I heard it audibly, but everybody's ever heard this knows what I'm talking about. He speaks on the inside of you. You hear it like formed in words. He said this to me. He said, when you get home, I want you to study Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So I did. When I got home, I studied Galatians 6, verse 9. And I began to see that. I began to study that, you know, in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Amen. Now, the first thing I thought is, look, you know, due, that means it's due to me. Amen. You know, if the electric bill's due, what does that mean? That means you better pay it. Unless you want to be cold. Right? It's due. All right? So, due season. Well, it's not that God owes me anything, but it's the laws of sowing and reaping. They work. But I began to study it out, and I found out, and I've told you this before, so it's repetition, but I found out that when you put all that together in due season, you look at it in the Greek, you put it all together, you do a deep study of it, you find out it means private personal, proper time. Are you with me now? What does that mean? Well, hang on. Private, amen, personal, proper time. Now, when I saw that, the Lord said to me, everybody has a private, personal, proper time to reap harvest. Their time, the people I was looking at, may be different than your time. What you need to do is rejoice when they reap. Amen. Hallelujah. I haven't seen him a long time, but a pastor friend from Louisville, we were preaching together at a men's meeting one day. And no, maybe it was at a conference in someplace else. But anyway, we were preaching at the same meeting. And, you know, he said something. He said, the way I figure about it, you know, you get this one guy's need met, then, you know, praise God, get him out of the way. I'm that much closer. I thought, yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Because, you know, sometimes, well, I'll tell you what, if they got a new car and I'm just as good a Christian as they are. Yeah, you really are. We can just tell by your attitude just how much you rejoice that you're just a great Christian. You're wonderful. How many know sometimes we have hidden issues we don't even know about? And sometimes we're not always ready for what we think we're ready for. Are you with me now? You know, I had some family members years ago. They said, you know, well, we've got our, you know, they had money, you know, and savings and retirements account and all that. And they had a only daughter, you know, they had a daughter. And of course, they're going to get the inheritance. But they asked me, now, would you be like, I forget what they called it, the executor of our estate or whatever they called it, because we don't want her having it. If something should happen to us, we don't want her having it right away. Well, it made total sense to me. You don't give a 12-year-old $250,000. I know all you 12-year-olds just said, now, you don't know what you're talking about, preacher, but you, just try me and see what happens. Well, you'll rot your teeth and your mind, okay? So you don't, you know what I'm saying? There's some people that are, you know, 52 you wouldn't want to give that much money to. Come on, are you with me now? You know, there are some people, if you gave them enough money, they'd get out of the will of God. They're supposed to be in southern Indiana. They're supposed to be fishing on the banks of the muddy Ohio River. They're not supposed to be casting in a line in the Pacific Ocean. But if they got enough money, they don't need God. They can go do what they want to do. You ever think about that? That some people, if you got enough money, you can disobey God royally. I'm not saying God doesn't want you to have money, but He wants you to have some commitment to Him, to His will, and to His Word first. Of course He does. He's the one that created all this, but He doesn't want you to have it if it's going to destroy you and drive you out of the will of God. Man, I think if I'd had $1 million when I was 18 years old, I'd have killed me and everybody around me. It looked like an atom bomb went off. We'd been dead people everywhere. We'd have had enough money to finish the job as it was. We was broke enough we couldn't buy enough drugs to kill ourselves. We could kill ourselves, but not enough people around us. We had enough money to kill ourselves, but not everybody in the city. See, God has to wait until you... Come on, there's got to be a harvest. There's a harvest season coming if you're planning, but God knows exactly when you need to reap the harvest. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes He has reasons behind it. Sometimes it's our growth process. We're just growing in the Lord. We're not ready to handle everything. Now, some of you are looking at me like, you know what you're talking about, but, you know, hey, I'm just as human as you are, and I realize there's some things, you know, get you in trouble if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit working in your life. You got to have it working in your life. What if ever, you know, I've said this before. What if, you know, the Bible talks about Samuel and it says that God didn't let one word he spoke fall to the ground. I thought, now, wait a minute. What if God made every word I said came to pass? Would there be anybody alive on the expressway? See, how many murders would you have committed with that power? Just a thought. Think about it. Some little old lady, man, she slammed up in the ditch somewhere, upside down, and her 1967 Buick. Because she was in your way. Yeah, Sunday driver. Get out of the way, Sunday driver. Come on now. See, you have to understand. See, God's not just watching us when we're at church. We're on our best behavior at church. God's watching us Monday through Friday. What we're saying out of our mouth, what we're... You know, listen, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't believe a word you say. He believes what you do. He watches to see what you're going to do. You can shout. Anybody can say anything. I've had those. Oh, I love you, brother. What's that I feel in my back? Oh, that was a 9-inch dagger you stuck in there when you tell me you love me. I love you, brother, but... Okay. Amen. Are you with me now? See, your harvest depends on what you're sowing. And whether you realize this or not, you know, we think about sowing, and a lot of times when we think about sowing, and we just think about money. And the Bible talks about sowing money. But I'm telling you, the Bible talks about really every thought, word, and deed is a seed. See? The reason why some people stay in so such small places spiritually is because they think that way. God's got to enlarge you. Remember in Isaiah, he said, enlarge the place of your habitation. Stretch forth the curtains of your tent. Begin to think bigger. Well, God couldn't use me. Well, you keep thinking that way. Now, I know you don't want to be proud and say, you know, I'm the greatest since Jesus. But you don't want to have that small thinking that limits you. You don't want to be like the guy that came to Brother Hagin and said, would you pray for him? He said, what for? He said, well, the Lord told me I'm going to have the greatest ministry outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord told me I'm going to have the greatest ministry outside the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to outshine all the apostles, even the Apostle Paul. There'd not be a ministry on the earth as great as mine except for the Lord Jesus Christ. He asked Brother Hagin, said, would you pray for me about that? And Brother Hagin said, no. He said, why not? He said, because that ain't going to happen. He said, how'd the Lord tell you? He said, well, prophet so-and-so told me. Like Brother Hagin said, I'd rather hear a donkey bark, bray in a tin barn at midnight as hear that. He said, I doubt very much you're called. But, you know, if you are, God said, you know, just serve God. Amen. Yeah. So I'm not saying you don't think I'm the greatest, but I'm just simply saying you got to allow God to invade your thinking. Right? I don't know whether you know this or not, but I've got to deal with this the same as you do, but my everyday actions out there interacting with people, that's seeds that I'm sowing. I wonder why people are rude to me. We ever think about maybe that you're rude to people? That's good preaching this morning. See, sometimes people say, well, there's no love in this church. Well, like a lady actually told Dr. Barclay in his church, she was an older lady, you know, told him, said, there's no love in this church. He said, well, yeah, there is. He said, the fact that we let you stay here proves we walk in love. He's really not the kind of guy you want to approach with that stuff because he's got to come back. You know, and really, you know, you have people like that. They're the meanest people in the church, and they say, there's no love here. Well, the reason you're not receiving love is because, you know, it's like years ago, I shouldn't tell this story, but years ago I was at the Full Gospel Businessmen. How many remember the Full Gospel Businessmen? You know, I went and I preached sometimes for their meetings and all, and I was there at, it might have been a dinner or something. They always ate before you preached, you know, and all that. And so we'd eat fried chicken and preach, you know, and you can imagine the outcome of that. But anyway, you know, and so I'm there, you know, and the president of the Full Gospel, he's got his vice president there, you know, and his vice president is having trouble in his marriage, you know. And so the vice president and the president, you know, they were talking about it. And the president told the vice president, he said, what you need to do is you just need to love that woman a little more. And the vice president said to the president, he said, it's hard to hug a barracuda. I thought, well, that counseling session went well, all right. Help me understand. See, a lot of times the reason why we're being treated the way we're being treated is because maybe we don't even know it, we're acting that way. I'm convinced a lot of times parents spank their kids because they're acting like them. Won't you act like me, little Johnny? Help me understand that every thought, every word, every deed is a seed. Right. We're constantly sowing all day long. Right. We have to think about that. We have to think about, well, if I'm rude to this person, then I'm sowing a bad seed, and I'm going to reap off of that. I don't want to reap that harvest. Are you with me now? See, well, I don't understand why nobody ever, helps me or blesses me or gives me any money. Well, let me ask you this. Do you ever bless anybody else or give them money? See, you have to sow the seed, right? Amen. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Amen? Now, all right, we've got a little bit of time here. I'll tell you what, let's go to Mark chapter 14, if you would, please. Excuse me, there is no Mark 14. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. Now, once you get through reading the Bible, you will know there's no Mark 14. Now, see, you're letting me get you again because there's a Mark 14. See, y'all thought, I got you. Well, how many chapters in Mark? Well, read it. You'll find there's 16. Mark chapter 4. You got it? Notice this. The sower sows the word. So the word's seed, right? I said the word seed, didn't it? And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Have you ever talked to somebody about, maybe they've got something wrong with them physically, and you start talking to them about divine healing, by his stripes you were healed, and it just rolls off of them like water off a duck's back? They pay no more attention to what you said than a man in the moon. Well, this is what this verse is talking about. Satan cometh immediately, and he takes away the word. Now, you have to know this, that if Satan wants to get the word immediately, he must be afraid of the word of God and the result it will produce. Because it'll produce in your life a harvest. And he knows that. Now, notice this. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. In other words, they don't have any staying power. They don't have any sticking power. There's a lot of preaching in here I'm skipping over because there's other things I want to get to. And because of our time's sake, I'm skipping over some of these things. But when it says they have no root in themselves, it's because they have no staying power. They can't stick with it. See, that gets tough, they quit. Come on. See, you have to learn to stick with things. See, I used to really be bad about that before I was saved. If it got tough, well, I don't need this in my life. But some things you just have to stick with it. Amen? And he said, afterward, verse 17, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. So why does the persecution affliction come? It comes for the word's sake. Notice verse 15, takes away the word. Notice that phrase. Satan comes immediately, takes away the word. Verse 17, persecution, affliction arise for the word's sake. What's he coming to do? Take away the word. See? And these are they, verse 18, which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches entering in, and the lust of other, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Notice, entering in, and when they enter into your heart, notice, they choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. I want you to notice this now. Verse 15 takes away the word. Verse 17, for the word's sake. Verse 19, choke the word. It's obvious to me the devil wants to separate us from the word of God. So he uses different methods. Now all of us have things come at us, but entering in is when they choke the word. Verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, or they keep it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. See, verse 26. I know I'm going through this fast, but I've got a lot yet to say. You with me this morning?
Amen.
Give me a little time this morning. Verse 26 says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, let's just stop just for a minute. What did Jesus say the parable was about? The sower sows the word. So what is the seed? What is the ground? Our heart. So read it like that, because that's what he's talking about. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should sow the word into his heart. You see that? And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth, or the heart, brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So what are we saying here? We're simply saying that your heart is like the earth. What you sow into it, it brings forth. Amen. If you sow the word in, it brings forth that kind of fruit. If you sow other things in, it brings forth whatever you sowed. Whatever you're sowing. If you're spending your time, there's nothing wrong with knowing what's going on in the world. But you don't have to spend your time sowing that into your heart. Amen. If you spend time sowing that, I'll tell you something now. You know, you may think I'm just being old-fashioned, but look, you need to watch your social media intake. I mean, come on. You don't need to know about everybody that doesn't like you on Facebook. There are myriads of people that don't like you on Facebook. You don't even need to know it. Why do I care that some squirt sitting in his underwear pushed I don't like button? Why should that devastate me? Hallelujah. Why should that ruin my day because somebody I don't even know you know what I'm saying? Limit that. Amen. A lot of this, no misunderstanding, there's a lot of good can come out of social media, but you better just stick with the good side instead of getting caught up in all that. I mean, it's a sad day when Twitter's running our country. You know, de-Facebook, Insta-slam. You know, all that stuff. There's not, y'all think I'm old-fashioned and he'll pastor just not, he's not into that. I don't need the garbage that goes with it.
Right.
Now, you know, you can use it for the good side. A lot of preachers do. A lot of preachers use the good side of it. But you just got to stay away from the garbage of it.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, on our website we had where you could comment on that and people start putting pukey stuff. I forget that. I don't need their comments.
Right. That's right.
What do I care whether they liked it or not? I'm not going to change. Well, I don't believe in that faith preaching. Well, okay, I'll quit. Sorry. That's not going to happen. So why do I even want to hear from you anyway? Just go puke somewhere else. You know, if somebody's about to puke, what do? You get out of the way. You know, Dr. Barkley always tells, I love this story. I love to tell this before lunch about when he was a kid, he had a friend called Chubby Chubby. He said, and one day, all of us guys went to the fair, you know, and you know, we did what guys do. We ate everything there. Then we got on the rides. You know, we got on this one ride to Tilt-A-Whirl. So we got off of it. Chubby Chubby looked really green. So we thought, well, we'll do something a little bit calmer. We'll do the Ferris wheel. So he said, you know how you get on the Ferris wheel, and Chubby Chubby's above us, and they stop to let people off. He said, all of a sudden, I hear, ugh. And he said, I said to my friend beside me, duck! And he said, we ducked, and here it came down, man. Hit people on the ground and everything else. You know, when somebody's going to throw up, get out of the room. Get out of the way.
Amen.
Don't go see what they got to say. I like what Brother Copeland said years ago. I learned this off him years ago. He said, I don't read anything about me in print, good or bad. I don't read what makes the newspaper. He says, tomorrow it'll be at the bottom of a bird cage, and a bird will know what to do with it. Amen. You got to guard your heart. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit, maybe. But you got to guard that. You know what I'm saying? So what you put in your heart comes out. You plant the word. Look, let me just break this down for you. If you need healing in your body, continue planting the word of healing in your body. What the Bible says, by His stripes I'm healed. Feed on it. I don't know where those scriptures are at. Well, look them up. You know, Google it. Right? I mean, Google healing scriptures. Amen. You know, well, I don't have a computer. Well, I know you got a phone. Google it. Or you need financial blessing. Google the scriptures. Or you need peace. Google the scriptures on peace. Why? Because if you sow them in your heart, you're going to reap them in your life. It's the laws of sowing and reaping. Amen. And that's what this is saying. Now look. Now notice verse 30. Excuse me. Verse 30. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? In other words, how can we get a picture of God's kingdom? How can we see what it's like? And Jesus is going to tell us. It's like a grain of mustard seed. What's the seed? What's the seed?
Word.
Which is sown in the
heart.
Is less than all seeds that be in the heart. Now the Bible says earth, but we're transposing it into what he was teaching by this parable. So I want you to notice that now. He says, so when it is sown, it grows up, becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now, what is the revelation behind this? Well, here's what Jesus is saying. Did you know that the Word of God, sometimes in seed form, does not look like the answer to your problem? I've seen this many times. Where you're called to go to the hospital and to pray for somebody that's sick or maybe has a serious disease. And they maybe have never heard the Word of God. And you go in there and you tell them, you know, maybe they're Christians, but they just don't know anything. They don't know the Word. And you go in there and you open your Bible to 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes you were healed. Is that the Bible?
Yes.
Well, is it true?
Yes.
All right. And they've got all this going on with them, and you take that to them, a lot of times they will take that and look at that and think, that can't be the answer to my problem. My problem's too big. But here's the miracle of it. If you can get them to receive it, come on now. If you can get it to receive it and they plant it in their heart, it starts to grow.
Amen.
Now when it's first put in there, it's smaller than all the seeds in their heart. They got all that years of doubt and unbelief and tradition, a lot of religious tradition with people. They got all that in their heart. All that's had years to grow. It's all bigger. But did you know Jesus said if you put that in there and you plant that, it starts growing and it becomes bigger than everything in there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I planted that seed of healing a long time, years ago. Now it's bigger than everything else in my heart.
Amen.
See, it grows. To where when I... You know, when you have an attack, the first thing you think about is divine healing.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you don't, you know, that doesn't mean you can't go to the doctor, but it's the first thing you think about is God.
Amen.
Because that seed is grown. It's bigger than everything else in there. Amen.
Right.
See, it's like, you know, you take that mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Real small, tiny seed. Used to be a Bible bookstore here in town called the Mustard Seed, Christian bookstore. And that little seed... You take that to your parent and say, hey, you're going to live in this. I mean, no, he's going to laugh at you. Because it looks like it just looks stupid. It looks no way. I've ran into people like that. You give them the word and they look at you like you're a nut. You're a nut. But see, you know something. You got some revelation. Here's the revelation. If you plant it, see, you plant that little seed. How many know, and that seed grows up. Guess what? It gets big enough that Parrot and all of his friends can live in it. But you got to plant it. It doesn't necessarily grow overnight. You just keep sowing. See, you don't plant an acorn. You know how you've seen some of the massive acorns on Lincoln Avenue. Well, you know, you don't just get an acorn from one of those trees and plant it in the ground and tell your little grandson, "Now get out of the way." That thing's going to grow. No, in your lifetime, if you're as old as Kenny, you're not going to see much out of that. You know, Kenny, I don't know, I don't know if he's 600 years old now, but he's probably got 600 left, so I guess he would. But help me understand what I'm talking about. It takes time, doesn't it? Amen. Now, let's go. Come on, are you still with me now? Just give me a little bit more time. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. See, Satan's going to do anything to separate you from the Word. He'll try to talk you out of feeding on the Scriptures. Well, it won't work for me. Well, no, it won't, because you believe it won't. But it will for anybody that believes it, if you'll just plant it. And I'll tell you what will happen. Here's what will happen. Let's just be honest about it. Let's just talk about the area of healing. If you start confessing 1 Peter, 2:24 over your life, and you start feeding on the healing Scriptures, when you're first sick and you got something wrong with you, at first it may look to you like, I don't know about all this, I don't know. But if you keep doing it, eventually you'll see it. It's kind of like, a lot of people take minerals and vitamins. How many of y'all take minerals and vitamins? All right, when you first took them, they just like all of a sudden went to the mirror and you say, "Wow, whew, that worked." Or sometimes ladies do the wrinkle cream stuff. Amen. Well, all right. If you don't, you'll get there. And so, you do all those, you got all those potions. You don't just put that on and all of a sudden you got a facelift. It takes time. Time, doesn't it? You say, I don't know, Pastor, it's been a long time. But let me know, what I'm saying. See, if you put something, because I used to do drugs before I was a Christian, and I could put stuff in my body in a matter of a few minutes, I felt it. That's not good for you. See, that means there's something wrong with that. See, because that's not the process. The process is it builds it into your system. Amen. Come on. I was taking some natural stuff for some things here a while back, and I took them and I took them. Here's the way I live my life. If I've got something wrong with my body, the first thing I think about is God and His healing power. But I also think about, am I doing something stupid here that I need to change, right? Are you with me now? I mean, if I'm eating 35 pounds of sugar a week, all the healing Scriptures are not going to work till I quit eating the sugar. I didn't say I had to quit eating all sugar, but you have to quit eating just all that you eat is sugar. You got to quit that. So, I will do that. I'll say, wait a minute. All right, I'm going to God. God, you're my healer. All right, now, first thing I want to ask, am I doing something stupid that I need to fix? And, he has to be honest with you. Of course you're doing something stupid, but that's not your problem. That was a joke. If you ask God if you're doing something stupid, that's a wide open question. I'm sure he can find a thing or two. Right? Well, I'm like, is there something I'm doing, And so, I was having some issues, and I thought, okay, in a certain area. And I thought, okay, all right, I'm going to take this natural supplement, So I took it for 60 days. It didn't do anything. You know what I realized? It didn't work for me. Right? I got to approach this, from a different perspective here. I don't know how to fix this, so there's only one person I know how to fix it. That's God Almighty. Are you with me now? So, but you know, I thought, well, you know, maybe if I take this supplement, it says it fixes that. Well, okay, if that's all there is to it, I'll take that. I'll take that supplement and see if it fixes it. Well, I did it for 30 days. The guys called me and said, hey, you want another bottle? I said, well, I don't know. It didn't do anything. Well, you got to give it 60 days. Okay, I'll give it 30 more days. Now, if they call me, I'm going to say, no, I don't want none of your more bottles. Pardon my English. But I don't want them any longer. It's not working. But God's word always works. Are you with me now? See, sometimes we're doing things and we got to quit it. You know what I'm saying? But God's always good to His word. Amen. I mean, if you're beating your head against the desk, don't come up in prayer line and pray for me to pray for your headache. Stop beating your head against the desk. Have you found? Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline your unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. What's he saying? Keep sowing my word. Keep sowing my word. For they are life unto those who find them, and health, notice this, to all their flesh. What does that mean? It'll fix whatever ails you. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, what is that saying? Well, what you have in life comes out of your heart. Are you with me now? Come on, stay with me. What you have in life is what you've been putting in your heart. Isn't that what the Bible just said? Come on, are you with me now? Is that what the Bible said? Keep your heart with all diligence, above all keeping, the Hebrew says, cross-reference says from my Bible. Keep your heart with all diligence, above all keeping, for out of it is what issues into your life. In other words, if you can change what you put in your heart, you can change what you have in your life. You have to change that. When God made Abraham a father of a multitude, where did he make him that at first? In his heart. It was 25 years before it manifested. But God said, come out, look at the stars, look at the sand. That's what your seed's going to look like. He was changing the picture Abraham was seeing of himself. If Abraham didn't change what he saw, it wouldn't manifest. But when he began to see him as a father of a multitude, so much that he changed his name to a father of a multitude, it began to manifest. But you have to change what you're seeing in your heart. Miracle prayer won't do that. A special anointing won't do that. You have to sow something different. Did you know if there was a special anointing manifested, you didn't change what's in your heart, what you had on you'd come back on you? There's proof of that. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, how many remember Miss Kuhlman? You know, if you're a little older, you probably remember her. She had a healing ministry, a valid healing ministry, even though the world made fun of her. I understand her mannerisms were a little strange. I get that. But if you got healed, I would think you could overlook the messenger a little bit. You know, William Branham, some of you may remember that name, you know, from back in the 60s, it had the tent meeting. Branham had one of the most outstanding word of knowledges operate in his life of anybody I ever knew of. I mean, he could just flat out, you know, like someone said, you didn't tell William Branham what was wrong with you. He told you when you got in line. And he did that many times. He'd say, well, this is, and this can be demonic sometimes, so don't just fall for it. Check the spirits, but his was of God. You know, and, you know, he would just tell people, well, you're from this city and you got this wrong with you, and it'd be right on, you know. And so the news media, you know, they're going to kind of bring him down and show he's a fake, he's phony and all. So they sent a couple reporters in there one time to his meetings, and you'd have to get a healing card and to get into the line because there's so many people, they just couldn't take everybody in one service. You couldn't pray for that many people a night and keep your sanity, you know, keep your health. And so, you know, you'd have to get a healing card, and if you got one of those cards, then you could get in the healing line, and he would pray for you, and on that card, it would say what was wrong with you. And a couple of reporters, you know, they got in just to make fun, you know, and they didn't have anything wrong with them, but they put some stuff down on the card, this is what I got wrong with me, you know, this is what's wrong with me. And they get into Branham's, and they hand the card to Branham, and Branham looks at him, and he says, well, you know, I'm not getting there's anything wrong with you. See, they were just lying. Well, I like what he said. He said, but since you want that, that's coming on you. And they got it. See, he had a true gift. Amen. Now, I don't know why I said that. I don't remember what I was on. But nevertheless, what you put in your heart, that's what's coming out of your life. Amen. Let's go to one last scripture. Did you get anything today?
Amen.
All right, we're closing here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Let's go there. Ecclesiastes 11. That's right after Proverbs, by the way. See, what kind of harvest do you want? You know, the Bible tells us that if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow abundantly, you reap abundantly. What kind of, you got to be abundant with the Word of God. Amen? You got to put it abundantly in your heart. Hallelujah. I was talking about Catherine Kuhlman, wasn't I? And here's what I was going to say. See, I was talking about special anointing and so forth. Well, she had a special anointing, gifts of the Spirit. People would be healed in her ministries. I've got testimonies that I've read of some fantastic stuff that happened in her meetings, people being healed of MS and so forth and so on. But here's what would happen sometimes, too. Some of those people that would get healed, they'd go back to their old unbelieving churches, and that same thing would come back on them after they were totally healed of it. Now, they'd been healed of it for weeks, sometimes months, no symptoms whatsoever, and go back into that unbelief, and because they didn't learn the Word of God, because they didn't do anything with the Word themselves, eventually the devil got it back on them because they didn't have anything to fight with. They didn't sow the right seeds in their heart. You have to sow the healing. If you want healing, you got to sow the healing seeds. You can get in every kind of prayer line you want to. Thank God for gifts of the Spirit. When they manifest, thank God for the healing anointing. Yes, maybe you might receive healing that way. A lot of people have. But if you want a sure way to get your healing and stay healed, get the Word in your heart.
Yeah.
Keep sowing it.
Yeah.
You be responsible for it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You be responsible. Amen. Now, Ecclesiastes 11, let's close. Did you get something today?
Amen.
All right, we're just talking about keep sowing the Word. This is a year of harvest, so keep sowing the Word.
Amen.
Don't give up. Verse 1, cast your bread upon many waters, for you shall find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, also to 8, for you know not what evil will be upon the earth. See, giving is like it's like an insurance policy. Amen. You got seed in the ground. You got something in your account. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If the tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. What's he saying? He's saying circumstances happen. Isn't that right? We live in life and circumstances happen. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean you're in unbelief. Circumstances happen in life. We live in a fallen world. They happen. But here's what he said. He that observes the wind shall not sow. He that regards the clouds shall not reap. What's he saying? Circumstances happen, but if you let those circumstances dictate to you, you got a real problem.
Right.
Don't let them dictate to you. You just keep sowing. Isn't that what he's talking about? See, no matter what happens in the earth, you just keep sowing. As you know not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so you know not the works of God who makes all. See, there's a lot of things. They're mysteries to us. We don't know, but God knows. We don't have to know everything. We know how to sow, right? Amen. You know, just like if you want a child, if you're believing for a child, how many know you have to plant seed, right? I'm not being vulgar. I mean, you're old enough to know that, right? Now, you may not know how all that works. You don't have to know how it works. You just got to do the right thing. See, sometime this coming year, I'm going to get on an airplane, and I'm going to fly. I don't know how it all works. I just know if I sow some seed, I'll get a harvest. I give them my money. They give me a ticket. I get on the plane, and we go. Amen. You know, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take a mission trip this year, at least to Honduras anyway. And so, you know, I don't have to know how that plane works. I just got to know how to work the process. Now notice this. Verse 6 is what I wanted to get to. In the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hand, for you know not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. What's the writer saying? He's saying this. Just keep sowing. You don't know which seed's going to be the breakthrough seed. You don't know which time you plant that word in your heart that it's going to manifest in your harvest. This was before I was a runner, so I wasn't doing anything to cause my problems. You know, running, sometimes you can cause a few issues. You know, it's just the truth, you know. And my wife says, then why do you do it? So I don't weigh 250 pounds. I'm working on getting, I've got suits that you know nothing of. I wore a tie here a while back. So, hey, get a new tie. No, I've had it for years. I just haven't had a suit that matched. Oh, that would match my body shape. So I got some suits, you know. I'm wanting to wear them, you know. I'm like, I like those suits, but they don't like me right now. So this was before that. I began to have an issue in my foot. And, man, it got so bad, I'd walk dragging the thing. Now, I didn't know. I didn't go to a doctor. Not that I couldn't or wouldn't or shouldn't. I just didn't. I just, you know, that's just my mentality is it'll heal up eventually, you know. But then, you know, a month later, I'm still kind of dragging the thing. I'd get under the anointing and I wouldn't notice it. But, you know, it kind of drags sometimes, you know. And I didn't realize at the time I had an Achilles problem. I didn't know all that, you know. As a runner, I've learned about those things. And so anyway, I just began putting the Word of God on it. I don't know what I'd done to do it. And I don't know that I was doing anything to cause the problem. It's just something went wrong there. So I began to put the Word of God on it and put the Word of God on it and put the Word of God on it. A month later, you know, I'm still dragging it. 2 months later, I'm still dragging it. You know, I'm still, you know, not all the time, but at times it just drag. But about 2 months, at the end of 2 months, I'm sitting in my study at home, and I got my foot up like this on my other. I'm sitting in my chair, and I got my foot up like, and I'm putting the Word of God on it, and all of a sudden something happened. Hallelujah. Amen. All of a sudden something went in my foot. All of a sudden, I noticed, wait a minute, something's happening here. I got down, got on it, and it was totally healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You say it took 2 months. Yeah, but it's better than forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know. I'd been sowing the seed of healing into my foot for 2 months. But, what did Ecclesiastes say? Solomon said, in the morning, sow your seed in the evening with not hold your hand, for you know not which one's going to prosper, either this one or that one, or whether they'll both alike prosper. You don't know. What is he simply saying is you don't know which seed it's going to be that's going to give you your breakthrough. But I'm glad I kept sowing that. And there was a day that came 2 months later, one of those seeds, man, I was sowing seed that morning, and all of a sudden, bam, it broke through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for harvest. Yes. You plant, you water, God gives the increase. Isaiah 32:20 says, blessed is he that sows beside all waters. What does that mean? Calm waters, storm waters, troubled waters. He just keeps sowing. That sends forth the feet of the ox and the donkey. What's the ox is for sowing, the donkey's for bringing the harvest in. Just keep sowing because harvest is coming. Hallelujah. Keep sowing the word.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.